Welcome to Saimu Series, a podcast about mental health. We will touch on popular topics and insights from professionals from Saimu. Hi everyone, this is Sally, and this is Saimu's podcast. And today, I am talking to Sadiq Kothakal, and he is going to talk about Ramadan with us. Hello, Sadiq. How are you?
Hi, Sally. Hi, everyone. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. Please tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So my name, as Sally was saying it perfectly, my name is Sadiq Kothakal, and I am basically from India. Working as a counselor, maybe 15 years in India and almost 5 years in Canada. Working with therapies, CBT, DEBT, and registered with Alberta College of Social Work, meaning I am living in Alberta, Edmonton, and do work with Employee Benefit Program and many other different platforms where counseling is the art that I enjoy in my life, being there in the journey of people's life. Yeah.
I love that. And today we're going to talk about Ramadan. Mm-hmm. Please let me know, what is Ramadan?
So there are religious definitions of Ramadan. However, there are so many resources which can speak clearly about what is Ramadan. But to me, Ramadan is an opportunity for the spiritual enlightenment, identifying internal strength by omitting or excluding bodily needs such as food, water, sex, other biological needs, not medicine for sure. And Muslims, when they practice Ramadan, they eat for the last time. It's basically dawn to dusk, like dawn to sunset. So in Canada, the duration of day is longer than India, so sometimes it can be a little bit lengthier, but when it is more lengthy, it is more fulfilling. So anyways, Ramadan is an opportunity for spiritual well-being, mental well-being, as well as it also helps the physicality of a person. Plus there are opportunities to connect with people, and there is a lot of charity. So whatever a good person doing in their good deeds in the society, they are supposed to scale it up to the max. And what I understand is that, and also I am also a Muslim, so I do believe that there is a life after death. So Ramadan is not to gain anything from this world or to this world, but it's mostly for the benefits of life after death. So that is giving people motivation from inside, not based on materialistic world. Yeah. So that is how I can kind of just wrap my head around
concept of Ramadan. That's very deep and beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like, how does one observe Ramadan? Like, what does somebody do during this time? I know you mentioned about fasting, but how do you like celebrate it? Or
So Ramadan, if we look at the rituals or the way someone practices, it is basically they are stop eating and drinking and attending bodily needs when the sun rises until the sun sets. So in the meantime, it is the increase everything, like prayer, being good to people, and controlling emotions, for example, anger. There are like day-to-day things happening in day-to-day life which can cause so many emotions to everyone. So if somebody is fasting, they are supposed not to be angry at someone despite of what is happening, because they are expecting, if they are becoming angry or if they go beyond a certain extent of emotions, then the benefit of fasting is compromised. So when we do that iftar, meaning when we break fast immediately after the sun sets, and then it begins with traditionally dates and practically pure water, and then eating balanced diet, then again engaging more and more in prayers, and wait until maybe after midnight and eat something, then again repeating that for 30 days based on, or 29 days, whatever the calendar, like the lunatic year. I mean, it is starting based on the moon movement. So once that month, lunatic month, arrives, then they're going to celebrate Eid. So basically, fasting is observed and Eid is celebrated. And one interesting thing is that if someone is doing 30 days fasting, a month fasting, it won't be accepted by the God, benefiting them in the life after death, if they are not donating food for the poor people. So the 30 days fasting is not counted as per Islamic standards if they are not kind to someone around them.
Oh, and that's interesting.
And that charity piece is called also zakat. Fitr zakat means they have to donate food to the immediate people around who are in need of.
So during fasting, that's the time during the day you're expected to do good deeds on top of, like,
whatever the regular good things, scaling it up if somebody. And it's also like, it is very as per the spiritual things, it is said that if someone doing a good thing in during Ramadan, they will be paid back, or they will be benefiting from God multiple times, like 27 times, 30 times. And there is a special night in Ramadan, which has a lot of connotations with the universe, multiverse, and everything. So whatever, if somebody is, for example, doing one good thing in that that particular night, that will be counted as multiples of thousand good things in same day. So people are highly motivated to be kind, to be good people to others, not to gain anything from this materialistic world, but that optimism, hope, internal power, their self-respect, self-esteem, their dignity, all these things are very well supported by fasting, if we look at the mental health aspects of fasting.
Wow, I was like thinking, like, I'm always hungry. I'll be terrible doing this. And I could just imagine, like, being trying a fast, like, I could imagine being very hangry or upset or like less patient, but you're trying to, but then this during this time you're supposed to take that and say, okay, I'm not supposed to be angry, I'm supposed to be kind. So I guess, like, if I'm a person knowing that my friend is going through Ramadan, I should be kind to this person, I guess. Because I could just almost imagine, like, that's real. I feel like it's a little bit of a hard thing to go through if you're not used to it.
Yeah. And of course, not eating from dawn to dusk is not an easy, fun thing. However, the willpower behind it, the purpose behind it, makes it happening. And when we do something and there is that sense of accomplishment at the end of the day, like, I did it, I maintained that peace and quietness within me, and in those moments people will be able to see their own internal strength, which cannot be purchased from Walmart, unfortunately. So this is an opportunity for someone to find their internal strength, willpower, commitment, hope, optimistic, and not for materialistic needs. So if they can practice something for an imaginary destination goal, then they can kind of translate those kind of internal strengths and qualities to their real life. For example, patience, forgiveness, giving to others, being kind. So if someone, for example, in a marital relationship, if people are fighting, if they can practice that kindness for something in the life after death, it will be easier for them to practice those things in the real life. So being patient and being a good listener, So there are so many mental health benefits if we dwell further into that mental health aspects of spiritual being. And I do agree with that it is not a very easy thing. And always, as you sensed, it is a good thing to be kind to someone who is fasting. So there, it simply brings that kindness from you for some reasons. So kindness is happening. So if that kindness is happening from you, from me, from others, and if it multiplies as a nuclear reaction, then the world is nicer, right?
Definitely. Yeah, during Ramadan, since I don't practice it, is there times where there is a group of prayer or reflection during the day? Is it at the time of fasting that you reflect during the day, or how does that
So
work?
it is more subjective, I would say. However, there are certain established practices. For example, if somebody is living where there is a mosque nearby, or I mean, then they are encouraged to go more to the mosque to do the usual five time prayers, which is mandatory, which has to happen even though there is no Ramadan. Like in every month, they are supposed to practice that five time prayer. And if that five time prayer is practiced in a collective way, then it is believed that it will be benefited more in the day after death. So spiritual practices of self-reflections. And during Ramadan, it is highly recommended that someone to sit alone in the middle of the night and conversate with God, so that meditation, peace of meditation using spirituality is happening there already. And that self-reflection and calmness and loneliness and identifying that simplicity of human being without being very much worried about the materialistic thing. So that reflections are highly encouraged throughout Ramadan, which is also happening otherwise too. But when somebody is motivated, the positive reinforcement by God, that if you are doing it in Ramadan, if you are reflecting and praying or purifying your soul and self during Ramadan, if you are spending time on that, that effort itself will be rewarded in multiples than a single reward. So that itself can be motivating people to be more self-reflecting. And there are a lot of beliefs that Islam, for example, Islam instructs that if someone commits suicide, they are not supposed to go to heaven. So I have experienced in many sessions that even though there is a lot of hardship going through their life, because of their spiritual belief, they don't commit suicide. So such qualities are more ingrained into that person when they are observing fasting. So answering to your question of self-reflection prayers, and people do practice, like in some cities, in some areas in world, for example, in Arab countries, Ramadan is considered as a the daytime can be considered as a holiday. Like people spend more time to their self than spending time with the external world. I mean, materialistic or business people, they close their shop and whatnot, so offices will be timed accordingly so that people can engage more in fasting and self-reflection and personal time per se. So
Wow. Well, so the whole city shuts down for this.
yeah, kind of
Wow.
minimized.
Yeah, I could imagine, minimize, since maybe medical stuff, anything that's really important should be open.
Of course, yeah.
Oh, wow, that is so interesting. Wow, I didn't know that. What if, I know you mentioned about some people going through hard times. What if you're a person with a mental diagnosis, and the doctor tells you that you're allowed to not fast?
Yeah, so
And
there are, yeah, understandable where when fasting is prescribed, there is already exceptions prescribed. And any prayer, like any mandatory prayer, there is always exceptions for those who qualify for it. For example, people who are sick, elderly, little kids, people who are taking medication, breastfeeding, women in menstruation, all those people are excluded. And some of them, it will be even punished if they are taking, if they are doing fasting, for example, if they are sick. So it is highly recommended people who is sick will be paid for them being sick, you know. So anyways, that is also spiritually benefiting. If somebody is sick, then for every second they are sick, God will reward them for not encouraging them, someone to be sick, but compensating. So there are exemptions as per the rules in Islam. If somebody is sick or taking medication, for example, if somebody is having a hard time in their life, depression and everything, so they are exempted from fasting. They have to actually look, take care of their health before committing to fasting and everything.
That's lovely to hear, because like you said, like the person who's going through this, like, I guess they shouldn't feel guilty, because like you said, like the person, if somebody is sick, you know, you're exempt from it, which is kind of like nice to hear, because I feel like Ramadan is like a wellness retreat, it sounds like, kind of like a self-care reflection moment where, you know, like you said, like at the end, you're supposed to take the whole day and kind of mentally journal that what you have done correctly. And like I'm very intrigued and very like this is so interesting.
Do you know, down that line, there are certain practices mentioned in Islam, like ask for forgiveness from God for the mistakes you have done, so that if there is somebody is guilty for something happened in their life, there is an opening for someone to believe that I have clarified it, I cleared it. So if for subjective reasons or any other reasons, if somebody is feeling guilty about something, there is an offer that if you ask forgiveness, God will give you, especially in Ramadan. So people will become more relaxed and not weighing in their head, like, I did something wrong to that. And also, Ramadan engages to reconnect with people who you are not doing well with. And if you did something wrong to someone, you have to, like, say sorry and apologize to that person and get a green flag from that person before you approach God. So people are highly prompted to deal with their internal guilt, their relationships, and all those self-defeating thoughts and emotions. So it can be taken that, and there are collective practices in some places, like, for example, before Eid, everyone will be okay, I might have done something to you wrong in general, and if let us talk together in this night, and if there is something we can compromise, let us discuss it through and let us resolve it, then let us together pray to God for. So then both of them are believing, now we are clear here in the ground, now we are eligible to ask for forgiveness from God. So that internal guilt or self-defeating feelings, emotions, some wrong or unhealthy self-beliefs, there are occasions or opportunities in Ramadan to look into self and to work on those areas as well.
That's so interesting. Like, I'm wondering, in your practice, have you heard anyone feeling anxiety for Ramadan, like, before it happens? Like, have you heard anyone, like, having anxiety to go through this process?
In my personal as well as professional experience, what I have experienced or what I have observed is that people are more excited about Ramadan. And there are practices in households, in families, in communities, like even before a month, that okay, Ramadan is coming, let us get ready, let us dust off our home, let us make it clean. Likewise, let us make our mind clean and let us welcome it. That is the usual. And if there is somebody is already experiencing generally anxiety about things, it is highly likely that it can be another trigger for them to be anxious about. While if that person is able to go through one day of fasting, then that will be itself will be a treatment for them. Like, okay, I did it and I benefited from it, so my nervousness worth it, kind of. So that could be. And generally, I don't have any such observations like people are anxious about Ramadan per se. If somebody's anxious about everything or anything, then they can be anxious about Ramadan. And kids sometimes, when they start practicing and learning it, there will be some like so many questions and clarifications. Is it okay more for me to drink water maybe during the noon, kind of? So, and I have seen in even in my childhood, it is not mandated to me like when I was 10, okay, you have to do the fasting the whole day. It was kind of split. Okay, you today you do up to noon, next day you have another noon, next year you may try a full fasting kind of thing. So it is not being thrown or insisted as a punishment.
That's
Okay.
cool. That's like that's an interesting like myth or misconception, I guess. Like you think that once you are introduced or going to participate, that it sounds like there's more positive reinforcements than like because it sounds like every this whole event just feels like it's more of a self-reflection and a positive thing. It like and if there is something like I guess if something does come up that is like you're just still depressed or you're still something that might be something that you need to talk to somebody like yourself to kind of figure out that if maybe Ramadan is not like even though you've been doing this in the past life and you're still not feeling good, maybe something that you need to talk to somebody about it and then see that if there is something else, because it sounds like what you're saying is you know, this is a very positive experience. You're supposed to come out spiritually clean and it feels amazing. Would you suggest like if somebody is not, would you what would you also suggest like to like would they reach out to somebody in their community? Would they somebody like I'm thinking they should just connect with you. But what is your suggestion?
About
If they're feeling if, during Ramadan, if they're feeling depressed still, like or anything, and they don't know why they're feeling negative, what would somebody do in that position?
Okay, so there if somebody like trying to do fasting and the effort to do fasting itself, if it becomes challenging for them, for example, if they are not able to complete the fasting and feeling guilty about it, or trying to use fasting as a self-purification and finding it is difficult to engage in that process, there are avenues to discuss about it, fundamentally based on their personal goal, why they are engaging in fasting, how what they are expecting to benefit out of fasting. So if somebody if we are if somebody is depressed in general or out of some other reasons, whether it be Ramadan or not, they do have a lot of resources. And in such cases, spiritually speaking, like from my knowledge, God do not insist people to do fasting if they are sick. Instead, God will ask them to seek help. So there, if they are looking for therapies, counseling, medication, diagnosis, whatever, it all has to happen as it usually should happen. And I remember a story which might be popular. Like somebody was there was a flood, and someone who is so spiritual was waiting for God to save that person. And he said, "Okay, you guys go. God will come and save me." And a boat came through, and they asked, "Are you coming?" "No, God will come." Then another a wood piece came, and people told him, "Hey, climb on it. You can escape." And he said, "No, God will come." And finally, he passed away and asked God, "Oh, what did you do? Like we were connected very well. Why you were not showing up to save me?" So God told him that I sent a boat. I sent a wood piece, so you are not able to see me there. So we like there are resources there are in, and you probably read the book Alchemist. Likewise, like there are things happening around us when we look for something. So if somebody is looking for happiness, Ramalan may not be the sole solution for it. However, other resources such as therapies, medication, all those things needs to happen, and those are also supposedly arranged by God. So you have to
I love
access
that.
so we have to access those boards and wood pieces when we are in need of, instead of waiting for the God to appear by itself in its entity. So
I love that story. I'm like so like what I understand is like even though okay, so for a person who's going through Ramadan, I love the fact that it is a self-reflection moment. And if you know that you are not well, like if you're feeling depressed or anything, that's like a learning moment to say, hey, that is the boat that's coming by. You say, maybe it's not time for you to do Ramadan. Like you don't have to do it because maybe this is a time to maybe do some self-care and get help and talk to Sadiq. And then that way like you could become better and participate it in the future. But at this moment, maybe that's like you said, it's like the sign of God to say, hey, maybe this is not the time to do this, but you need to focus on yourself.
So fundamentally, coming back to that aspect, if somebody is sick, they are exempted from fasting. Sickness doesn't mean that just physical, it can be any forms of unwellness. Like, so in such cases, they are exempted from fasting. So there are reasons not to fast when somebody is sick. However, they have to address that sickness first. If they and then they can enjoy the accomplishment after fasting.
Wonderful. And I guess I don't know this answer, so I'm just gonna ask. Like after, like you said, at the end of Ramadan, you guys have a festival. Like, so can somebody still join that festival at the end if they cannot do the full fasting because they're sick or something? Like, how does the last day look like?
It's a very interesting question, because fasting is a very secret form of prayer. So if you do fasting, you don't tell anyone, like, "I do fast," or and if I do fasting, I need not tell to anyone. And if I don't fast, I don't need to tell. So nobody can see if somebody's fasting or not. So it is a subjective. I am coming to my first sentence. It's a subjective experience. And the collective celebrations, there are no restrictions, but there are invitations. It doesn't matter if you are rich, if you are poor, if you did fasting, if you did not, if you were praying, not. It is a collective gathering for not just for Muslims, for everyone to come together. And I remember something like in Indian culture, the hugging from like it was not there, like from significant people. So we kids will wait for the Eid to get hugs from our significant people. So meaning the Eid prayer, after Eid prayer, I do practice something like intentionally. I will stay outside of the masjid and will be open to anybody hugs. So I'll try
to.
Oh,
that's so sweet.
I'll try to look who is not getting a hug yet in that crowd. I will go to that person and will an unconditional hug. So that is the best thing I enjoyed in Eid, the collectiveness, heart-to-heart touch. So that happens, that collectiveness, and that could be very therapeutic too. Like if somebody is feeling social isolation, social anxiety, social nervousness, that hug can help them to come out of that discomfort or whatever they are feeling. So there are so many such elements where I am answering to the question as per my understanding. If someone does fasting or not, that is not a criteria for them to practice participate in Eid. And one more thing, that Zakat or Eid al-Fitr I was talking, if I did fasting, if my fasting needs to be accepted, I have to walk to the person's door and give them the food instead of them coming back, coming to me and asking for the food. So it is, it is not even considered as a charity. It is the poor man's right. So I am doing that obligation so that the 30 days fasting is accepted. So that care for others is that much ingrained and practically, like that is practiced during Ramadan, where people who feel social isolation, any of such things, it can be minimized.
Oh, I love it. And I love how it, at the end there's a big hug fest. That is such a nice thing. I can just almost imagine, because like you said, during that time of Ramadan, you're not even supposed to have like hugs or anything, right? Like I guess you can hug your, like,
you can.
Yeah.
Like hugs for, and the hugs, like Islam doesn't promote hugs between males and females. I mean, there are certain boundaries to be practiced as per the Islamic beliefs. However, a hug between mom and child, dad and child, or significant people, it is happening here, but I was referring to my experience back home. So we will wait for a hug because it is unconditionally available during that Eid. So people are that much open and available to each other in those days.
Wow. I could just almost imagine. It's like, okay, we're done. Open the door. Like, just like waiting. Give me the hugs. I'm available. That is such a nice, like, it sounds
gestures. Fun. Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like a, well, I love,
and when and also when you have mentioned about that intimacy or physical, like the hugs between for example partners during the fasting hours, like from dawn to sunset, no physical needs are not even expected to think about it. So we'll abstain from any bodily needy thoughts or anything, focus on self and self-purification sort of meditation kind of thing. But after the fasting is, after breaking the fast, it is connecting each other, having intimacy, or those sort of things are highly, I mean, it is also beneficial. The God will reward you for being available to each other in intimate manners too. So it's not 24/7, 30 days. It's like abstaining from everything, but restricted engagement in bodily needs. Yeah.
Oh, that's good to know. But this was such a lovely conversation, Sadiq. And thank you for talking to everybody about Ramadan. And like, I'm like, I have learned so much from you, and I know that you're not supposed to say that you are going to participate or not, but if you do, I hope it is an enlightening time, and I wish I was in Alberta so I could get a hug from you, because that would be, what a nice ending to that. Oh my goodness.
And that is actually beginning something, like, when people like they may be not in touch for so long, and during that Eid, after Ramadan, after Ramadan fasting, and they are becoming like, I am clear, I am that person will feel very proud in their inside by being honest to that, honest to self, and being truthful, doing so many good things, and identifying some of the internal strengths and capacities to be resilient to their own decisions, and practicing all those internal strengths in their real life by sacrificing the basic human needs. It is not saying I am traveling by bus, not by my car. It is not just nothing of that luxurious kind. It is basically compromising, sacrificing the basic needs, food and water, for hours, and placing that as an indicator of to gauge ourselves about the, okay, I do have the strength to maintain my day without physical needs, but focusing on my spiritual, internal, personal strengths. And after going through that 30 days experience and trying to connect with people who were not in touch, and that can be a beginning to have another new year with them, more connected, more social, and yeah. So, and I know I am not an expert per se about Ramadan, or I may not be sounding everything accurate or to its maximum extent about the mental health benefits of Ramadan. I was more sounding like based on my personal experience and interactions with
Okay.
similarly likely minded people about how it can be very beneficial, how Ramadan can be beneficial in terms of that identifying that simplicity of everyone.
That's so beautiful. I could just only imagine, I know that you said that this is just the beginning of everything, just going through that process, and then you're hoping that by doing it every day for whatever however many days that Ramadan is during that year, that it becomes a habit to be kind to other people, to remind yourself to be self-aware and taking care of yourself. This is so lovely. Thank you again.
Of course, again, it also comes to that cultural pattern of the total humanity. Every culture had its own way of fasting based on different scripts or ideologies. And now therapies, physiology, like medicine, physical medicine also suggests fasting in intermittent fasting, for example. And there are so many resources around that area, like when and if we are aware about that when we are fasting, how that fasting, the biological changes can cause some brain changes. If we are aware about it, if people can refer to some TED Talks, for example, to see how it can. So that self-awareness, okay, when I did fasting, this is happening in me. So that greater tone of self-commanding. And when I thought about having this conversation today, all my thoughts were landing on that place. It is a heaviest form of self-commanding if we talk about the therapy. So we are commanding self, we are developing and designing and practicing a form of heavier, intense form of self-commanding in a subjective way, based on everyone's minute subjective needs and aspirations.
Beautifully said. I love that. And if anyone in Alberta wants to talk to Sadiq, you can find him on SciMood. We'll have his profile link on the show notes. But again, this was such a lovely conversation, and I can't wait to do another one with you.
Surely.
And again, thank you again, and thank you everyone. And let me know. Let us know how was your experience during this year's Ramadan, if it went well or not. And if you have more questions, let me know or contact Sadita on SciMu.com. Thank
Sure,
you.
yeah. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Sally. for
you.
arranging this platform to end.
Thank you. SciMood is an online mental health platform that connects you with mental health specialists who speaks your language and understand your culture. You can find us at our website at SciMood.com and on our social media channels on Instagram, X, Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn at MySciMood. Don't forget to follow, like, and share, and comment. Thank you for existing.